welcome you to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Schopp, C70 at the bat at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, is Tara Wellman from Bird Seeds and Birds on the Black and at Tara Wellman on Twitter. And Tara got back into the grind. She's grinding through these about last nights now, you know. And so check those out on her YouTube page. It's good to have those back. Tara, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show, but it's very disappointing to have to come in here and talk about the fact that the Cardinals lost two games this week. I just don't know what we're going to do with them. I mean, with that kind of, you know, what's up with that?
I mean, we might as well pull the plug, you know? Call it a year, go home.
So, obviously, before anybody gets too worked up, we are being sarcastic. I feel like we shouldn't have to say that, but it's social media type stuff, and so it's always good to be clear that we're getting the Cardinals. 5-2 this week, had a chance twice to complete series sweeps and hit a little bit bump mark on road to bump on both of those. But really, even both of those games they lost, Aaron, and this is something we have talked about, well, almost ever since the bullpen shakeup for sure, and maybe even going back to the managerial change in general. This team comes to the ninth inning almost every time with a chance to win.
Yeah, it's been one of the, I think, most notable changes with this team is that it in any situation, you never feel like they're completely out of it, right? And the good thing is the games have been close, so it's easy to feel like you still have a chance when it's a one or a two run game. But you don't see this team give up a couple of runs early and feel like, well, might as well just pack it in for the night and try again tomorrow, because you feel like they're going to do something to at least give themselves a chance later on in the game. And they did that today. They had a chance. They had a couple of really close fly balls that you know, a foot or two would have given them, or tied the game rather, in the ninth inning. So, you know, they put themselves in a position where they have a chance. And while it gets frustrating at times when they don't capitalize on all of those opportunities, they're putting themselves in a position where they have a chance. Mm-hmm. And the more regularly you do that, the more regularly, you will start to cash in on some of those chances. And that's what we've seen them do pretty consistently over the course of the last couple of weeks. So, it's a little disappointing when you can't finish off a sweep, but like I told someone today, it's really hard to beat a team three times in a row, especially at this point in the year when it's a team you've seen a lot of already. There are no surprises, right? There are no secrets left between these teams, except that evidently Ulys Chacin has figured out how to pitch against the Cardinals, which was a thing that he couldn't do until today. So maybe there are still a few surprises to be had at this point in the year.
Yeah, and I don't know why, because I felt like the last time they saw him, he had had trouble. I mean, he had been able to pitch well against them, but I may have been thinking of somebody else. I didn't actually look it up. I don't want to do research. That's crazy talk. That's not what bloggers are for. But yeah, I mean, the Cardinals today, if I'm right, I think this was like the first time since maybe all of the very first that Pittsburgh series in August that they went in order in the ninth inning. And even today, I mean, like I said, the last ball that was hit was Jed Jerko, who for all intents and purposes really looked like he had tied the game with his last swing, and it just came just a little short. So it is. It's great. I think if nothing else, you know, we talk about this, and we want the games to be entertaining, and if you are winning in the ninth, or at least close enough that you can reasonably put a rally together in the ninth, with a bloop and a blast or whatever it may be, and when they do that regularly, I mean, what, 10 walk-offs this year, and it feels like about half of them have come in the last 2 weeks, I think that's a great thing. I mean, and it does, and I think you see that in the response to this team over the last few days, with fans in the stands and online. People have embraced this team. They've embraced a lot of the parts of this team, and are very excited about this team again, which is not what we would say a couple of months ago. A couple of months ago, everybody was kind of writing them off and looking forward to some sort of off-season shakeup that would, you know, at least put fresh faces in here. And it didn't take that long. You know, the midseason took care of it. And now, that team that we thought was dead 2 weeks ago is sitting a half a game out of the wild card, and actually, you know, before they lost today, was in that wild card spot, where if the playoffs had started yesterday, they would have been in them. And they're only four games back of the division, and, you know, you keep looking at that last three games of the year, which is in Wrigley Field. You know, division's not out of reach right now. It is amazing to see. I mean, granted, it's partly because they've been able to play some of these teams, partly because some of these teams have struggled a bit, but to see this team really, I mean, seriously in contention. And we've kind of seen it over the last couple of weeks, seeing them get back into it, but I mean, they're there now, and this is completely a pennant race.
Yeah, you know, I felt like this loss against the Brewers today felt a little worse because they had moved into that playoff mm-hmm. spot with yesterday's win. All of a sudden, they were there, and it was like, man, they climbed all the way back, and now they're a legit contender for a postseason spot, and then, you know, immediately they were knocked back out of it. Now, it's close enough that it doesn't really – there are, what, like six teams mm-hmm. that are all right there. I mean, you know, a game – in any one direction can shuffle the whole deck there, but it's still I think it stung a little bit more because of the high of getting back into that postseason spot to then realizing, okay, all right, the playoffs don't actually start today. and they do have to, you know, keep up this pace where they're winning every series that they play in, which they've done remarkably well in the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, you know, it's been such a remarkable turnaround with this team that it's hard to figure out exactly what or who to credit most. But I really think you've got to look at the guy at the top, just like we did when they weren't playing well, and what Mike Schilt has done. You know, whether he's the right voice for the future for the Cardinals is a conversation I'm sure we'll have a lot of going forward, but the reality to me is very clear that he's the right voice for the Cardinals right now. On the heels of everything that happened in the Mike Matheny era and the way that that ended and the drama that was going on in the clubhouse prior to the managerial change, Mike Schilt is the guy that needed to be there right now. And you know, the proof is in the pudding, as they say, which is always and will forever be a weird saying to me, but nonetheless, they're getting the job done, and it feels like, as much as we rally behind the salsa, I feel like it probably has a lot more to do with what's going on behind closed doors with that manager than it does with, you know, the stockpile of hopefully never ending salsa in the Cardinals clubhouse.
Yes, the proof is in the salsa, maybe a better thing. So, yeah, I always feel like that was a British thing. I don't know why. Maybe it's because they just, well, anyway, we're not going to go off on some etymological.
I'll look it up while you're talking.
I glanced at it a little bit. It had something to do with, you know, proof of the pudding is in the eating. It's, there's that phrase that people do not tend to say. That's, and so, yeah, you have to eat it to see that if it actually is good. You can't look mm-hmm. at it. And obviously,
so we're all just too lazy to say the complete saying. So we just say part of it and assume the meaning.
Huh. That's just shocking. I never
weird
thought that would happen. But, you know, and unfortunately, you know, they get to try the salsa. You know, I do appreciate the fact that there's apparently some buzz around the fact that Carpenter is going into mass production on this stuff, and it may be publicly available at some point in time. But, you know, right now we don't get to eat the salsa, which is disappointing. I mean, honestly, when you really boil down to it. So, I mean, if Jim Hayes can have some, why can't we have some? I mean,
that seems completely fair to me.
It is, I don't know. Maybe they'll bring it to us next year at the Blogger Day.
There we go.
Anyway.
It's still in production by then.
Yeah, but we'll be on to, you know, tamales or something like right. that. Who knows? But anyway. Anyway, yeah, it's... it is interesting, and it's very interesting, you know, like you said, when you said that you were going to give credit to the guy at the top, which is was Mike Shildt, and that's very fair, but it's very interesting to see how the reception to Jaume Zalok has changed over the last week and a half or so. Because, you know, even after the managerial change, then it was like everybody had their torches and pitchforks and didn't necessarily know what to do with them. So they just said, hey, who's next? And started going after Mo. But, you know, one, Mo, you know, changed managers, and then he did this bullpen makeover, and we've seen these other things. And I think it's pretty obvious that Mike Shildt is on a similar page with Jaume Zalok on a lot of these things. So I don't know. It feels like people have calmed down, and now because people have to have somebody to go after. I mean, just there is always a whipping boy in St. Louis, probably in every place. So now, because everything seems to be working pretty well, everybody's going after Greg Garcia, it feels like. Now, unfortunately, especially as Tara will tell you, we did see Greg Garcia a little too much this weekend because Colton Wong got hit on a pickoff, which...
Come on.
I mean, it's not the worst thing that's ever happened to Colton Wong trying to get, you know, when he's gotten picked off or, you know, on a pickoff throw, but...
Don't make me sing Let It Go again.
I'm just saying. It's not good.
Right. It's true.
Just not...
You're not wrong.
Yeah. So, Colton misses today, although did pinch in today, and hopefully will be ready for the rest of the week. But we've seen a little bit of Greg Garcia over this last little bit, and everybody seems to be of this, you know, stomping their feet and saying, we've got to get rid of Greg Garcia, which I'm not really sure where it came from. I just seem to have seen it a lot this week. And, I mean, I'm not saying Greg Garcia is a, you know, superstar or anything, but... I mean, he still seems to have his value to this team.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to me because I feel like Greg Garcia is a guy that is pretty universally praised by people within the team, right? Within the organization, the guys who, you know, actually have to work with him on a daily basis as opposed to those of us who just get to sit back and criticize on the internet. So it's interesting to see the way that this has taken a turn in regards to Greg Garcia. Now, there's always been a sort of a weird line in the sand between Greg Garcia fans and people who think that someone else could probably do his job better. But it's been irrelevant because there have been so many greater roster issues to argue about. So now that, you know, those things are kind of a moot point with the Cardinals winning like they are, it's pretty easy to you know, just sort of fall back into picking on the one guy that may or may not be replaceable at this point. But I think the reality is there's value to his teammates, there's value to the coaching staff that is probably not something we're ever going to be aware of just as people viewing from the outside. You listen to the way that Mike Shildt talks about Greg Garcia, you listen to the way that his teammates talk about him, you listen to the way that the television commentators talk about him, and there's very clearly something that makes him a really high quality teammate. Even if he's maybe not the guy that's going to be the superstar. But listen, we're talking about probably the last guy on the roster at this point. No one expects that guy to be a superstar. So, you know, I kind of feel like at this point, we know what Greg Garcia is. Why is this surprising to anyone? And I think it's really easy when so many AAA guys have come up and inserted themselves into really meaningful moments right away to kind of get stuck thinking, well, there's probably somebody at Memphis that can come up and replace Greg Garcia, which is fine. but you sort of erase the value that he brings as a teammate and as, you know, a part of really one of the longest lasting pieces of this squad over the last couple of years. And a way that he seems to impact the people around him. So I think it's still, significant to recognize that we don't know everything that goes on in the clubhouse and the value that he can bring, even if it's not in regular at bats or even if it is in an at bat ahead of someone like Patrick Wisdom.
Yeah, no, I think he's arbitration eligible at the end of the year, which very well may be where he starts to get his walking papers. I mean, you know, but right now he's being paid the minimum, and there really isn't anybody that I know of, and obviously I'm not Kyle Reese, which I continue to thank myself for quite a bit, but, or thank anybody for quite a bit. But, you know, Max Schrock is hitting like .265 down in Memphis, which, you know, and maybe Max Schrock would be fine in that spot. But, you know, again, there is value to a guy that's been around a little bit, especially on this team. I think he's like one of the oldest people on this team now, and he's only been playing for 3 years in the major leagues. There's value in a guy that knows his role. I mean, he is this guy that can, you know, again, you don't want to see him out there every day. You don't really want to see him on a regular basis, but Yairo Munoz is hurt right now, so what are you going to do? You know, if Colton Wong's healthy, you don't see much of Greg Garcia. But then, you know, he plays today, and he gets a hit, and he gets hit, and he turns a remarkable double play with a jumping catch and catching a guy off first. I mean, he plays fine, and it's like, okay, he's fine. You know, he's not an all-star, and you're not going to have all-stars at every position. So, again, if this is the worst problem the Cardinals have, take it, because this is just not what we've had. Like you said, we've had bigger fish to fry over the last few years. And, you know, to even be fair, right now, with Dexter Fowler on the disabled list, you know, if he wasn't, we would probably be focused there. But if this is the worst that you can come up with for this team, then you're doing all right. And yeah. And that seems to be the way. Now,
don't worry, Brett Cecil is back. Greg Garcia may be off the hook.
I was going there right now. I was just about to say that. We did see the return of Brett Cecil this week. And, you know, again, you're right. There's a lot of people that were significantly worked up about the fact that he was coming back to the majors. And to some degree, it made sense. I mean, this bullpen has looked very good since the changeover. It's a situation where nobody really deserved to go down or anything like that. But Brett Cecil was, you know, he was due to come back to some degree. I think it maybe stretched out a little bit. But he was coming back. They weren't really likely to DFA him right now. And so far he's come back and has looked pretty good. You know, knock on wood and see how long it lasts. But so far, and they seem to be trying to develop him really into that loogie that we've kind of thought he might be at some points in time. He's looked a lot better than I expected.
Yeah, you know, I think, again, the situation with Brett Cecil is I feel fairly confident in saying that it's primarily motivated by the contract. But when you're trying to, much like we've talked about with Dexter Fowler, sort of reestablish some value there, you have to give him a chance to play. You know, if he's going to be there, you got to put him in situations where you need him to be effective and see if he can do it. And so far, what we've seen from him has certainly been more successful than it was his last opportunity when he pitched in a blowout game against the Cubs and still looked like he couldn't get anybody out. So, you know, I think it's important for the Cardinals to look, it's like anybody. A good Brett Cecil makes this team better, right?
Right.
It's just a matter of trying to figure out if you have a good Brett Cecil. And, you know, properly utilizing him while he's sort of regaining that confidence, I think, is going to be big. I would have been much more concerned about that under the previous regime. But I think we've seen Mike Schilt and Mike Maddox work really well as far as, you know, being aggressive when they need to be with a pitcher in moving them out of a bad situation, but also in putting them right back out there to try to get them, you know, to a place where they can be successful.
Yeah. And I mean, we saw, you know, when Brett Cecil came up, I thought, okay, this is gonna be one of those things. So easy men, they'll pitch him in games where the Cardinals are down three or up a bunch, and you know, try to get a feel for him. Well, what, the first time he comes into the game against the Nationals, they're down by one, I think, which is like, wow. And then today he comes in with, what, a runner on, maybe two runners, mm-hmm. I guess two runners on. And, you know, he did walk a guy to load the bases, but got out of that jam. It's very interesting to me to see that they're, I don't know, maybe it is a mental thing, maybe it's Shields saying, look, you can do this, and we're going to prove it to you. I don't know. And it does feel like there's some indications that maybe relations with the former manager weren't that great. Maybe they weren't. I mean, we don't know. We weren't there. But there has been some kind of things that have come out that maybe, you know, that maybe there wasn't that confidence that he needed a boost of confidence. And maybe this is going to do it. We'll see. But, you know, Cecil is on the hook for another 2 years. And if you can get something out of him over that time period, it'd be much better than trying to just cut him loose. So far, so good. We'll see how this goes, because Cecil does have a tendency to run, you know, five or six good outings together and then just, you know, melt down. So we'll see how they use him, but you're right. I think this pitching staff and manager, pitching coaches and manager working together have been a lot more able to manage issues like that. You know, we kind of saw that today with John Gant leaving, instead of letting him work out of it, let him finish the fifth, they went to Cecil to make sure that the game didn't get out of hand, and it worked. So hopefully that'll continue to be the case. Now, we talk about the bullpen. It's going to get at least one more arm this week, perhaps a couple. Carlos Martinez has pitched two games in Springfield. I think he gave up a home run this first one. I think he pitched pretty well today in relief of Adam Wainwright, which is like, wow, okay. Wainwright, Martinez, and Munoz were all in the same game. It's like, you know, if you bring all of Memphis to St. Louis, I guess you got to take St. Louis and put them somewhere. anyway, Carlos Martinez, they've said, they came out this week and said he's going to come back as a reliever and should join the team while they're in Los Angeles in the next couple of days. Were you surprised to hear that the Cardinals went that route with Martinez, especially when they're going to continue to develop Michael Wacha as a starter?
Yeah, you know, I think the challenge with Carlos Martinez right now is trying to find a way to utilize what he's capable of, but to not push him into any sort of setback. Because as we've seen this year with his, I don't know if it's the way he's handling himself when he comes back from an injury, or if it's some sort of, you know, hesitation in his mind that he's trying not to re-injure himself and then in the process, hurting something else. I don't know, but whatever it is, the challenge is trying to utilize everything that Carlos Martinez brings to the table, and not lose him to that process, if that makes sense. So, you know, when you're talking about Carlos Martinez relieving Adam Wainwright is an interesting concept in and of itself. But then, I don't know, I just think it's a really interesting puzzle to try to sort out, because things are going so well in that bullpen as it is. And like I said, I feel like Mike Maddux and Mike Schilt are really working quite well together in getting the best out of every one of those guys. So it feels a little like this is going to be a strange dynamic to try to master. And whomever it is, however they work those guys back in, there's a lot of talent to be had there. I think that the trick is just finding a way to utilize it so that it makes the Cardinals as they are, which has been pretty good in the last couple of weeks, even better, as opposed to, you know, putting someone in a position because that's what their role is supposed to be, and sort of taking away from this magic that they've been building over the last couple of weeks.
Now, the good thing is that if they can activate Carlos even like tomorrow or maybe Tuesday, whoever goes down will be ready to come back up, you know, when the rosters expand on September 1st. So we're not talking about an extended period of time to be missing somebody, but there aren't a whole lot of real options. I mean, you know, it used to be, you have to, you know, send down Mike Myers, send down John Brebbia. Well, you know, Brebbia's on the disabled list, and Myers seems to be the go-to reliever for Mike Schilt, whether it's...
Which is fascinating, considering the first month of the season, he was sort of the break glass in case of emergency pitcher. But carry on.
Yeah, and that's true. Although I will say, yeah, that as the year went on, I think Mike Matheny used him quite a bit as well.
Sure,
I'm going to have to look at it to see. He may have overused him, which would be pretty... typical.
Weird. But, never seen that before.
Yeah. And maybe I have to look. I haven't looked at the numbers for sure. But he does seem to be the guy that, you know, if they need outs, whenever they need outs, you know, they're going to go to Myers, whether it's in the fifth, whether it's in the seventh, whether it's, you know, a game in the ninth this week where the you know, it wasn't a save situation, but they need to finish it up. They went to him. Very interesting to see that. But, you know, obviously they're not going to send him down. So I don't know exactly where what we're going to see out of the bullpen and who's going to go down for Carlos Martinez. But we also saw a flip this way, or we haven't yet. We've just had it announced today that Daniel Ponce de Leon is going to take Luke Weaver's spot in the bullpen, or in the rotation, and Weaver's going to go to the bullpen. Looking at the way Weaver has pitched over the last few weeks, that just feels like a good idea, because it just doesn't feel like he's going to go deep into games. You don't really have the confidence with him that you do with a lot of other players.
Yeah, it's been, I don't want to say a long time coming, but I think it's sort of been in the back of a lot of people's minds for a while. Back when we were talking about the potential of the Cardinals having like 8 starting pitchers and only 5 rotation spots, of course, that was when Alex Reyes was on the comeback trail. So this has been, I think, a possibility for quite a while now. It's just been a matter of, as Mo likes to say, these things working themselves out, and the Cardinals being in a position where not only did they need Luke Weaver in the rotation, but he continued to sort of pitch himself back into that spot every time the question came up regularly again. But at this point, I think what we've seen is that he can be effective in limited doses. And right now that plays better out of the bullpen, and we've seen Ponce de Leon be really effective as well. So it makes sense. I think it's a little bit, I think it's still a little bit surprising after the last, you know, 6 years or so of feeling pretty sure of what these type decisions were going to be, to then see Mike Schilt actually go out and make some of these bold moves, some of these bolder decisions that seem quite obvious, but also would likely not have been done before. So yeah, I think it could be a tremendous asset. I think the challenge for the Cardinals, which is strange to say, I keep going back to the fact that I still think that the challenge for the Cardinals right now is their starting pitching, not because they don't have guys that are capable starters, but because they don't have guys that have been there before. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we talk about Jack Flaherty as the veteran of the staff or the leader of the staff, and that seems to be a role that he's taken on quite willingly. But it's still a little strange to look at this rotation, look at the Cardinals as a postseason contender, and try to figure out how you line that all up without the likes of Carlos Martinez, ideally with a healthy Michael Wacha coming back, but there's still not a lot out there as far as his readiness either. So Weaver to the bullpen, I think, makes a lot of sense for Luke Weaver. I think that it makes that rotation a touch more unpredictable, even though what we've seen from Ponce de Leon has been pretty good thus far.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Luke Weaver's run over the last couple of months, and he doesn't give up more than two runs.
Yeah.
The problem is there's some starts that he doesn't go beyond the third when he's giving up two runs. And I think this is what's really fascinating, because this bullpen, the way this bullpen is built right now, it is basically to the point where you almost don't have starters, or you don't have to have starters. You've got guys that are starting games, but if you want to pull your guy after the third inning, you can do that, because there's every arm in that bullpen can go two or three innings, except for, you know, Mike Myers probably isn't to where he could now, but he used to be a starter. Jordan Hicks used to be a starter, although they're going to limit him. And, of course, Bud Norris used to be a starter. And again, those last three, they're pretty much going to limit them to one inning, because that's the way they've been pitching him this year. But everybody else out there, even when you bring Luke Weaver and Carlos Martinez into the mix, you can throw them for two or three innings if you need to. And so if a pitcher gets in trouble in the second inning, especially when rosters expand, I don't think Mike Shildt's going to have any hesitation to pull him and make sure the game doesn't get out of hand, because he can go through two or three more guys to finish the game and still have a solid bullpen for the next day.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We talked, well, I found myself talking a lot earlier in the season about the way that the Brewers had sort of come up with a similar strategy, that they only needed their starters to go four, maybe five innings, because they felt like their bullpen could do the rest. That's sort of failed them as of late, because they've asked that of their bullpen for the entire season. But, you know, it also sort of brings to light for the Cardinals this idea that when you're an organization like the Cardinals that has developed this incredible pitching talent, maybe you don't need to go out and buy a bullpen. Mm-hmm. Maybe what you need to do is not try to make everybody a starter and, you know, take advantage of those arms when you have them. We all know the volatility of a bullpen and the fact that a guy can be phenomenal in relief one year and a complete disaster the next. So when you, like John Mozeliak has done, stockpile arms, it makes complete sense to then utilize them in the role that best suits the team that you've created, or that the season is created for you, if nothing else. And that seems to be the advantage that the Cardinals have right now in the way they've gone about restructuring this bullpen, which, sort of as a rabbit trail, you mentioned a lot of the heat that John Mozeliak took over the course of most of this season. And in the last couple of years, we've talked about it, the fact that it seems like he sort of holds on to a lot of young talent and then never really does anything with them. Mm-hmm. It's been really interesting to me to see the way that a lot of that has changed with the management. And we've talked a lot over the last couple of years about how there seemed to be such a disconnect between what Mike Matheny would say, what Mike Matheny wanted, and what John Mozeliak would say, what he wanted. It almost feels to me, and this is, you know, I generally don't like to make grand assumptions, but this is a pretty grand assumption. It feels a lot to me like all of a sudden, John Mozeliak feels like he has a manager who can actually work a system, work a team the way that John Mozeliak sees it working, in utilizing the youth, in bringing up the young talent, in sort of that homegrown philosophy, but actually letting it play out at the major league level, not just in AAA, and not having to go out and sign the big free agent, because you have talented guys that can play almost up a level because of the confidence their manager has in them. It's a very strange transition that's kind of changing the way that I look at a lot of the way this organization is operating, and seeing John Mozeliak maybe feel like he has a little bit more of an open door to do things the way he actually wanted to do them all along, but didn't necessarily have the right personnel in place to do it. So, all of that to sort of circle back to what your question actually was about the bullpen, and the fact that the Cardinals, yes, don't have maybe the 1-2 punch out of the rotation that we keep talking about them needing. But they're sort of in this weird situation where it might actually be okay anyway because of the way that they're able to utilize that bullpen right now with all of those young arms that have been so successful at the minor league level for this organization.
Yeah, I kind of think about this as, to go back to your side note, as a kind of a river that had a beaver dam in it, and things were getting clogged up, and maybe you got stuff around it a little bit, but now that they've cleared that out, the river flows freely. And, you know, I don't want to say that Mike Matheny was this big obstacle to success, because I don't, but,
right,
you know, it's very difficult to not say that after this. You see this, you know, kind of open the floodgates type of thing, and you see Harrison Bader playing all the time and doing well, and you see all these young guys getting a chance to come up to the major leagues, and really seriously don't think that they would have had that opportunity under the previous manager. So, not that, you know, again, not to say that Mike Matheny was the whole entire problem, and not to say that if he had been given some of these, you know, some of this bullpen, that maybe he would have been able to do something similar, but it probably wouldn't have been used in the way that John Mozeliak really wanted, and Mike Shildt is doing that, so it's all flowing a lot more freely.
And sort of the last piece of that, I think, is that like you, I'm not suggesting that all of that was just Mike Matheny, because I think if you're in John Mozeliak's position and you have this grand plan, but you don't actually have the people in place to make that plan work, mm-hmm. you gotta adjust. I mean, you can't just keep banging your head against the wall because they see, I mean, you either change the personnel that's blocking the plan or you change the plan. Mm-hmm. So, to their credit, it seems like they changed the personnel, but it, you know, it 5 years maybe longer than it should have taken to realize that there was this fork in the road, that they were either going to have to change the personnel or they were going to have to change the plan, because the two things were not going to be able to be successful on the same path. So there's plenty of, I don't know if we're assigning blame, but there were plenty of issues to go around. Let's be very clear. But it has been interesting to see that with the change of personnel, as far as the field staff is concerned, it feels like John Mozeliak's process makes a lot more sense as well.
Yeah, because I mean, we've talked about it a number of times, how the organization tried to adjust their plan to their personnel, if you will, that they would try to, you know, make moves that would work for Mike Matheny. And I think, and to some degree, thinking that he would continue to grow and use those things, that it didn't work out. So I feel like it was more of a, hey, we want Mike Matheny to succeed, we're going to do everything we can, and it just got to the point where it couldn't. But
yeah.
You know, that's a little water under the bridge now, and I'm sure we'll have a little bit more on that as the season wraps up and kind of really look at it. But, you know, going forward, this is not any, you know, can't really continue to blame things or lay things on Mike Matheny, because it's not his team anymore. And it was very interesting to see that Mike Matheny did make a speaking appearance at, Six Flags Christian Day or something of that nature this weekend. And, you know, it was very still, as you see, very gracious and, understanding of the situation. And he didn't come out and have any cheap shots or anything like that, which you would not expect out of Mike Matheny, but, still interesting to see him making public appearances, after that. Cardinals go to Los Angeles and then have an off day and go into Colorado. Two teams that they are really right there with in the wild card race. Going out on the West Coast swing this late in the season is not exactly ideal. It is, I hate to think that 3-3, because that's probably not going to be real great, but I don't know that you can expect more than that off of a stretch like this.
This is always a tough swing, and that's when you're not facing down the teams that may or may not determine your postseason fate. So, it's tough, but I think, I don't know, someone asked a question of Mike Shildt in the postgame today about this team's resilience, and he did the manager thing and said, I don't know, this is a pretty resilient bunch. I don't know if they're more resilient now than they were before, but I think there's really something to that. I feel like this team, I was telling someone today, that, you know, even even when they lose a game, it doesn't feel like that's going to snowball into three or four consecutive losses. It feels like they're just as capable of rebounding and coming back and winning the next day. And that's not always been the case. So whether they're more resilient or if they're just playing better baseball and that sort of manifests itself as resilience, if you will, then I don't know. I think there's something to that. So while this is always a tough stretch, I feel a little bit like this team is more in a position to handle it with the way that they're approaching these games day in and day out. And, you know, we'll see. We have talked much in the last couple of years about the Cardinals facing teams that were above their talent level. And those are the teams you have to beat if you want to make a deep run in the postseason. So I think this is a really, this will be a very telling week about just how much better these Cardinals have gotten. I think it'll be hard to watch it objectively to make that decision with or without the results falling in their favor. So that's, I don't know that that's really helpful as far as what a good week looks like. because at this point, we want them to win all of the games, but you know, if they can, winning this series seems to be so significant in the context of what this team struggled to do in the first half of the year, that seems like a pretty enormous success any way you slice it this week.
Yeah, it just goes back to the Tony La Russa mantra of win the series. And you know, if they can win both of these series, and it's a tough chart, although they do miss Kershaw, and they've always seemed to have some pretty good success in Colorado. Maybe that's just because Colorado usually doesn't have good teams. But, you know, if you can win two out of three against the Dodgers and you win two out of three against the Rockies, then you got to like where you're at. But that is a tough – and, you know, when the team wins eight in a row, it gets us a little spoiled. For
Cardinals fans spoiled? No.
Never happens. But
never heard that before.
You know, and Mike Schilt goes, what, you know, he's, what, 21-11 or something since he took over. It's – we haven't had a lot of – we haven't had any, I don't think, back-to-back losses except – especially since the – maybe that first week when they still had the bullpen, but in that five-game set with the Cubs. But – you know, this is a team that plays well, seems to have played well, and we'll see how that does when they have probably their biggest test right now with that road trip and the quality of the opponents. So, Tara and I will be with you next week. We'll break down those series and we'll talk about them then. So until then, I'm Daniel and that's Tara. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.